Hi, my name is Lori Fagan. I am running for the State House of Representatives in Eastern Washington's 4th District in position 1, which is the position currently held by Matt Shea. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. My father was a veteran, a small business owner. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and then went back to work when I was a young one. I personally moved to the Spokane Valley nearly 40 years ago when my son was a toddler. I raised him here in Central and East Valley, and now I live in West Valley. So I have been a Valley resident for almost 40 years. I attended SCC for my associate's degree in nursing and then went on to earn my bachelor and master's degree at WSU Spokane. I've been a nurse since 1990. I've worked in the ICU at Valley Hospital for about 19 years, and then when I became a nurse practitioner in 2009, I went to work specializing in internal medicine as a nurse practitioner, and I've been doing that now for over 11 years. And I just love what I do, and I love taking care of the people in our community. I think I've counted that over my career. I've probably taken care of about 35,000 people. So with just thousands of people that I've cared for over the years, I like to say that I never have asked anybody who they voted for or how they worship as a condition of me caring for them. And my aspirations to be a representative for our district include that commitment that I will take care of everybody and respect them for who they are and have an inclusive and holistic view of my responsibility as a representative. I began actually to consider running for this office about a year ago. As a constituent and as somebody who deeply cares about my community, my decision to run for office comes from the belief that we can and must do better for the citizens of our district. So like many of my fellow citizens, I have become deeply disturbed by the increasing ineffectiveness of our current representative, along with his evolving extremist ideologies that I feel threaten the safety of our community. I believe that we need government that works for all of us, and that starts with having a local representation that considers the common needs of every person in this district and somebody who can work collaboratively with others to have those common priorities met. So this was not an easy decision, and it certainly wasn't a decision that I made overnight. It took a lot of consideration. Later on last fall, when other things started to become revealed surrounding our current representative, I felt like I was in a great personal and professional time of my life to step up and be the representative that I know we need.
Ms. Fagan, have you been elected before to office? And if so, what did you learn from serving?
Well, no, I don't have any prior elected experience. And I think that actually gives an advantage to not only my candidacy, but also to the people of this district. I've dedicated my life to serving the folks here that I consider my neighbors. As that 11-year nurse practitioner and the previous 19 years working in the ICU at Valley, I just show up. I work hard. I solve problems. I make meaningful differences in the lives of the people that I serve. And that's my commitment to the people of the 4th District.
So do you think serving as a nurse would help you as an elected official?
Oh, absolutely. Especially now with our moving toward trying to recover from this pandemic, having somebody that understands the implications of healthcare and the disparities that the pandemic has revealed. I think that that deep understanding of public health and of making sure that everybody's needs are met in the district is going to be a great advantage. And I've also had a lot of volunteer experience in our community. So touching the lives of women and veterans and youth, trying to alleviate things like food security and housing insecurity. I'm not just a nurse, but I am truly a public servant. And I think that that's going to be an advantage to the people in our district.
How would you describe your political philosophy?
Well, I am a lifelong Democrat. I do consider myself to be more running in the moderate vein. I do have some fiscal responsibility that I think comes with addressing our state budget and regarding taxes. But I also have a very social conscience that talks about equity and inclusion. So I feel a great combination of somebody that is basically conservative in regards to how we address things fiscally, but also socially responsible when it comes to making sure that people have their needs met.
So let's talk about a few of the issues that are kind of the hot button issues. How do you think the governor has handled the coronavirus situation in the state of Washington?
Well, I understand that the governor isn't solely responsible for the decisions that he's made, that he's had the advice of public health experts and has also tapped into community leaders and stakeholders. So he does have the ultimate authority and has made the final decisions about how he's done things. As a healthcare provider, I actually appreciate that we have taken a strong public health stance on trying to flatten that curve initially and use caution as we open our economy and our businesses and our schools. So I know that there's a lot of folks that disagree with how things went. It's been very impactful and a lot of folks have been harmed, but this virus does not care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. This virus doesn't care whether you're a student or a business owner. We're going to get through this together. We've gotten through a lot of things together as a community before, and I have total faith in our community, both as a state and here in our district, that we will take care of each other and get through this well.
So how do you feel about sort of the social polarity we're going through now with regard to people believing that the pandemic is not real or that masks aren't helpful or all of this? As you look upon it as a candidate, how do you think about that?
Yeah, it's really disheartening that this pandemic and even getting down into the use of masks has become such a politically polarized topic. This is a public health crisis. This crisis was not devised or designed by somebody that has political aspirations. And so I don't understand really why it's become such a political hot button, other than we have to look to our leaders to see how they have responded. And honestly, at the highest level of our political leadership, there has been a lot of mixed messages and a lot of inappropriate and ineffective strategies that got implemented. And we're still seeing those examples of divisiveness coming from political leadership. So from the president on down, it's important to look to science, to look to public health, and to make sure that we get through this pandemic in a way that has the least impact on human health as well as on our economy. It's tough.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the economy, the pandemic has done quite a number on not only the state economy, but the national economy. If you were elected as a representative and you go back to Olympia, how would you deal with what are your thoughts as you think about a budget that seriously is going to have to be trimmed or altered in some way in order to become whole again?
Right. Well, I think that, I know that we have some great work groups going on that are already having those discussions, and I'm hopeful that the legislator will be called back to start dealing with some of these now, not wait until next year. In 2008, there were some cuts to some services that actually caused harm to families and delayed economic recovery, and I believe that our legislators have learned from that experience. So, again, taking a relatively fiscal conservative approach to this, I understand that we're going to have to cut some programs, especially if they aren't working, and we need to look at cutting them out and then directing those funding back into services that focus on health and education and on economic growth and stability. So I see savings through a public health lens. We also can't repeat those strategies from 2008 that didn't work.
So are there particular areas then within the budget that you think would be open to potential cuts that are not as valuable in terms of services as some of those that you think are valuable?
I personally can't identify for you anything specific. I know that there are some programs that were going to be implemented that were going to be relatively costly that have been put on the back burner, and I'm okay with that for now. I think we really need to focus on making sure that we work on actual revenue, not just on savings. So we have a lot of opportunities to address the vast inequities that our tax system perpetuates, especially that unfairly burdens working families and middle class families and seniors. And so it's not just about savings and cuts. It's also about creating and identifying new revenue sources so that perhaps we don't have to make such drastic cuts to important services.
So let's go to one of the other areas, and that is police reforms with Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and all of that. There's a lot of talk then again about that policing agencies need to be reformed. What are your thoughts about that particular area?
Oh, you know, my personal opinion is that justice reform has to recognize the racial and ethnic disparities throughout our system, including our criminal justice system. I rely on the communities of color to tell us what they need to remedy the situation. And I am in the legislature going to insist that we have leadership roles that come from the communities of color that lead us in those strategies. So I'm really grateful for the newly formed Task Force on Policing and Social Justice that's been formed, and that there are communities of color leaders and stakeholders who will inform the legislator on the proposals to improve those policing practices.
So are there things that are top of mind for you that are most important, whether it be bans on certain policing practices, or are there top of mind things that you think have to be part of that?
Oh, sure. Definitely. We need to make sure that we You're going to edit this. you know, I think that we've thrown the term defunding the police around a little bit. And my personal opinion is that's not a literal call to disband or eliminate law enforcement. It really means to me that we're going to consider reallocating funds to services in the community that provide resources that are better suited for other entities besides law enforcement. So things like reducing their need to respond to domestic violence and substance abuse and homelessness and mental health crises. Those are things that other community workers and other trained people in de-escalation techniques could respond to. I, as a survivor of domestic violence, was saved by a police department. And so I understand their value. What I don't want is for our police department to be in a position where they have to use unnecessary force and violence and even cause potential death in the as they're doing their job to respond. So I do feel strongly that we have to address some of the techniques that the police departments have been using historically. Those include those deadly headlocks that create not just airway but circulation issues and are quite deadly. I also would like to see some police reform that to do with their accountability when there are bad players. And believe me, I understand that we have value in our law enforcement agencies, but they also have to have accountability when those officers' behavior creates harm. And again, I'm not the expert in law enforcement, and I will rely on the people that are on the ground that understand law enforcement and have been most greatly impacted by the practices to lead us.
Is the state level, you mentioned that this new state task force that the governor has created, is the state level the right place to do that, or is that more of a local community sort of function?
Oh, I absolutely believe that it's a state level function. We travel throughout our state. We need to have consistent laws that protect everybody, regardless of where they move from county to county and from town to town.
So there's one other, as long as we're talking about policing and criminal justice, there's one other area that hasn't been in the news an awful lot over the last few years, but it has gotten attention in Olympia the last couple of years, and that is whether it's Washington should continue to have a death penalty. What do you believe about that?
I don't believe in the death penalty.
So you would support the governor's and I guess the attorney general's move to wipe that off the books in the state of Washington?
Absolutely.
So let's go to another. I've been asking also people about the $30 car tabs initiative that Washington voters approved a year or so ago. What do you believe about that one?
Well, you know, I represent the district. The folks that live here in the 4th District overwhelmingly support Tim Eymann's $30 tab. It's been devastating to our transportation budget, and we're obviously going to have to figure out how to meet our infrastructure needs without relying on those tabs. So we'll see how it goes, but absolutely, as somebody here in our district, I have to listen to the people here and what their priorities are. And we're just going to have to figure out how to make sure that our infrastructure needs are met through other budgeting needs.
You have a lot of transportation needs out in the valley. You've got streets that need to be fixed and bridges under and over railways and that sort of thing. There's lots for the valley to think about there.
There is. And unfortunately, you know, some of the things have had to be put on hold, and hopefully they won't be put on the back burner for long. We have a lot of transportation improvement priorities that I'd like to see get reinstated so that we can move forward and have those projects carry forward. They really are quality of life investments, and the people here in our district have been looking to them for a long time.
So the person you hope to replace in the legislature was pushing a 51st state, and he wasn't the first person to do that. I mean, the Senator McCaslin 20 years ago, I remember covering that 20, 25 years ago. What are your thoughts about the 51st state idea?
Yeah, I am not a proponent. And, of course, my new challenger, Bob McCaslin Jr., is also somebody that has supported that that idea. You know, I love living in Washington. I love living in Eastern Washington. This is a state. And having a divisive attitude when you go in as a representative is not conducive to representing your district within the state. And frankly, we do need a government that works for all of us. And that means that we have to have representation that considers our unique needs in this district, not just our needs, but also what we bring to the table. And I am a Washington resident, and I will be representing our district in the state of Washington's House of Representatives.
So I've hit you with a few different issues that I think are important, but I wanted to give you the chance to talk about maybe the two or three issues that would be highest on your agenda when you get to Olympia.
Sure. Thanks. Well, again, you know, I think that everybody is going to be prioritizing recovery from the pandemic, both in from a human life cost, but also in an economic cost. And so some of the priorities that I have are the priorities of this district. And some of them are standards. They're healthcare and education and infrastructure. But we also have issues of homelessness. And we have issues, again, of police accountability and justice reform. But I think that probably some of the things that we're going to have to deal with right out of the gate have to do with, again, those budget, revenue structure, tax reform, and those are going to inform how we deal with things that are important like healthcare and education and infrastructure. So I'm actually hoping to be part of the Health and Wellness Committee that will be able to work with other legislators to continue that important work of health reform. We have, during this pandemic, seen the disparities in healthcare and education widen even further. And so as a nurse practitioner and a nurse for all these years, I've seen what our current healthcare system does and doesn't do firsthand. So public health crisis and revealing that we have so much to do, we need to take care of that without delay. The fact that healthcare is primarily tied to employment is leaving so many people behind. As far as education goes, we do need to invest in school safety. And to me, that means not just investing in the structural safety of our schools, but also in school and emotional learning needs for our students, more school-based nurses, pediatric mental health, school-based health clinics. I understand, again, looking through most everything with policy and priorities through a public health lens, that our students and teachers need to have their unique needs met, and we need to expand on McCleary and make sure that we have K through 12 as well as higher education funded. And then just touching again on the infrastructure, the projects that come to mind here in our district that we've been eagerly awaiting are things like the Pine Road BNSF and Barker Road BNSF grade separation projects, the Harvard Road Bridge project, the Henry Road overpass project. These are quality of life investments. We need to find the funds for those projects that bring new jobs and business revenue and prepare our district for future economic growth. Again, these are also public safety and quality of life issues for our residents. I guess the bottom line is I'm going to advocate for our district's fair share of funding to get healthcare and education and infrastructure going again. And I'm just really eager to have our voters get to know me, to get to know why I'm wanting to represent them and hoping to earn their vote.
So this has been quite an interesting year as an observer's point of view, because the fourth has traditionally been one area where the same people have been elected over and over and over, but you've got a little bit of turnover and a little bit of jostling around on the filing day, especially the last hour or two of filing day, with people moving in and out of positions. I'll run for this one instead of running for this one. Do you think that is a measure of maybe changing attitudes in Spokane Valley toward elected leadership?
Well, that was a two-part question.
or more.
Well, filing day was interesting. I was actually here at home doing telemedicine, and started getting notifications from friends and campaign folks about the jostling around of candidates from one position to the other down at the elections office. So, I was just really happy to stand on the sidelines. This is my position. It's what I filed for. Just watching these other candidates figure out what lane they wanted to swim in was interesting. And I'm really happy that I stood my ground and I'm standing here wanting to represent the people of our district from position one to replace Matt Shea. As far as the readiness of our district to get out from under the status quo of the ineffectiveness and the extremist representation that we've had for the last decade or so, I actually have faith that the voters in this district who have, and I'm using my words, have been duped by Matt Shea and his followers and the people that believe like he does. I believe that they're actually looking deeper into the qualities and the voting record of the people that have served them for so long and for too long, and will actually look at the character and the value and the skills and the leadership of the people that are trying to make a difference in this community, and will find that somebody like me is somebody that they can trust to go to work for them and do a good job.
Okay, Lori, was there anything that I missed that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of issues that are swirling around our communities at this time, everything from addiction to homelessness to what are we going to do to feed the kids this summer to how are we going to get our businesses open. There's a lot of work to do, and I'm eager to roll up my sleeves and get to work.